My next guest is an individual that was introduced to the Maine Magazine group by one of our photographers, Aaron Little, who we love, who is a who really gives us beautiful photos for Maine Magazine and Old Port Magazine and has done some wellness shoots with me. But our guest today is Elizabeth Drucker. She is the owner and director of the Ballet School in Topsom, Maine. She received her training from Nancy Bielski at the School of American Ballet in New York City and went on to dance professionally with the New York City Ballet. She has been teaching ballet in Maine and New York for 23 years and works with all ages and abilities. When not in the studio, Elizabeth enjoys being outside raising chickens, running with her dogs, riding her bike, or gardening. She lives in Topsom with her husband, Derek Treadwell. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Aaron could not have spoken more highly, Aaron Little, our photographer.
Nice.
And I believe that you said that her daughter, also named Elizabeth,
yes,
does some training with you at your school.
She does.
From what I hear, you are doing very interesting things in Topsom.
You know, it's a small, we have our studio set in a converted barn in the back of our property, and I think it's a surprise sometimes to drive down this sort of rural road and find that there are many, many students who are training there every day and training very seriously back in our little hole in the woods back there.
How did you first become interested in ballet yourself?
I started when I was 9. I think like many, many young kids, I started with tap dancing, and within about 3 weeks, I think I was doing tap, jazz, and ballet, and then within a year, I'd really just focused in on ballet, fell in love with it. I think I was taking lessons every day at that point. My studio was right around the corner, so it was easy to take that often, but I really quickly fell in love with the work in the studio. I kept dancing. I moved to Maine after that, but then went back to New York City to start training with the School of American Ballet when I was about 12 years old, and full-time when I was 15. Went on to dance with New York City Ballet for when I was 17. And then it didn't take me long to realize that I really loved the work in the studio more than I loved the work on the stage. So that's what made me shift from that professional performance career to a teaching career. Came back to Maine in 1993, started teaching then, and never stopped, but I would say the first few years when I came back to Maine, I was still sort of finding my way. It was a big adjustment, stopping training at such a high level to switch to teaching. But when I started with my own school, with the ballet school, it was like I'd really found home for myself, and finished teaching the first day and just couldn't wait to get back in the studio the next day and do it again. And I still have that feeling.
But why ballet? You know, you're 9 and 10 years old. And
yeah.
There's something about that particular form of dance. It's so specific.
It is very specific. And I think it attracts a specific type of person. I think it demands a lot of it surprises you sometimes to see how much physical strength it demands. So I think it does attract a person who tends to be athletic and like to push their bodies in different ways, but I think it also really attracts a person who likes details and is excited by little progressions. The students who, for instance, Aaron's daughter, Elizabeth, she's now at that age where she comes a couple of times a week, and her class this year just came together in terms of loving those little details. So we can spend, all this time in class focusing on the intense classicism of ballet, and that's not for everybody. But when you get a group that loves that, there's just no stopping them, I feel so. I think there's also a tremendous love of music if you love ballet, because it's such a pivotal part, and But I'm surprised also how many students really do find something to love in it. Because you're right, it is a very specific kind of training.
It seems as though many parents are interested in having their children do ballet, but that at some point it has to really be about the child, him or herself.
Yes.
What is that? What is that pivot point? What do you see in kids who make the decision to move forward themselves?
That's a good question. I think that they start to feel how much success they have in the studio, and by success I mean that for them, finding achievement in those small changes, because it's a small progression. It's not like you walk in one day and then the next day you're doing, triple pirouettes and you've got your split, and it's such a small, slow progression. But they start to, that aha moment that I think I see in my students is when they've been working at something for a period of time, and it might be something small, like, holding their arm at a certain level, and then they get it. They get it that day, and you see this light go on behind their eyes, this smile, even the shy students who, their smile is sort of repressed a little bit, but they can't keep it contained because they've worked at something and they've seen the achievement in it. That's so rewarding. And so that's what I try to find for my students, and that's why I think that ballet is something that everybody can be successful in. If you look at the standards of success being broad, being about little details as well as big details.
You described a point in your own career where you went from performance mm-hmm. to studio mm-hmm. and to teaching.
Yeah.
Explain to me the differences between someone who might go in one direction versus another direction.
I think you have to. One thing that I saw in my fellow performers that I didn't see in myself is that we'd be backstage getting ready for a performance, and they were brimming with excitement. They were like, oh, I can't wait to get on stage tonight. I have to go to class tomorrow, the next day, and the rehearsals, but it's just to get on stage. That was the reward for them, and that was really enjoyable for them. For me, that was a little bit more of that was the hardest part in the day for me. Whereas that time in the studio where there's so much discovery, so many opportunities to try something new in the studio and see how it worked. And I think that you can get that way on stage for sure. I think that there were factors that stood in my way a little bit, and some of it was being healthy, being physically and mentally healthy to have the confidence to take those sort of risks on stage that I felt I could in the classroom. I think the dancers that are so successful performing really find a balance in their life that they can handle the stress of performing, but that the love of being on stage really pushes them through, helps them. And so I see that in both, in my students. I have some students who they get through their classwork during the year so that they can be rewarded at the end of the year with a spring production. And then there's others who I think would be happy being in class every day and not ever having to step on stage. And I think that's one of the things that in a smaller school like mine, we're trying to find that balance for all students, because it is different for each of them.
It seems to me as a parent that we've evolved into a very performance-centric world.
Yes.
And that it's not even just the spring performance of, say, a ballet. it's also the sort of daily on stage of Instagram or social media. And so there's always this sense that you have to have your game face on.
You're absolutely right.
So how do you step back from that and encourage this joy that you're describing mm-hmm. in just your own small accomplishments?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm very lucky in that the older students in the school it trickles down their beliefs and their philosophy and their work ethics trickle down to their to the younger students, and I think the older students really understand that everything really happens in the classroom. And it also happens outside the classroom, the work they do at home, the time that they put into thinking about class. But so when you see that modeled for you every day, I think and then for the parents to also see that these older dancers are doing really well. They can see the product on stage every year, but they also see that these older dancers are gaining recognition elsewhere. They audition for summer programs throughout the country and are accepted. So they see that the course of ballet in particular, more so in ballet than some other forms of dance, really is a classroom-based based activity. And so I think that helps. I don't know if that answered your question, but I think it's sort of building that culture within the school that the value happens every single day, and then we also get to see that and celebrate that in a performance, that the performance is sort of a celebration rather than a given that's just going to happen. And it seems to flow really nicely that way. I think we have a great parent base and student base that appreciates that. So I don't have too many questions about that.
Part of my work over the years as a physician has been in teaching medical students, teaching residents. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I taught swimming lessons,
mm-hmm.
and I was a camp counselor. And I think there's something very different in the teaching. I think there's very intricate and specific skills involved in teaching that are different than the doing of it. Because especially in your field, you're trying to help kids incorporate a new muscle memory. And you're trying to talk to them and show them something that they need to pull into their own bodies and create new neural pathways.
Yeah.
How have you gone about doing that?
Well, that's something that I think sometimes keeps me up at night, thinking of how the best ways to do that. Because it's so different for every student. And you know, for some students, and I think this is what you're describing, I for some students, it's really very, very hard to even find those muscles. So ballet is such a traditional art form. There's sort of set combinations that we do every day and variations within those exercises that are the building blocks for progression. So relying on those building blocks really does set up each student to make those leaps. But I think that some students love ballet, but it's hard for them physically. And I think that just takes time. There are students that I have now that 4 years ago, if you said they'd be doing what they're doing now, I would have said, we'll see. And they surprise me constantly. So it's sort of just being patient and sticking with it and you know, I love to work individually. Unfortunately, we don't have that much time to work with each student individually. We're working in group classes, so finding ways that everybody can profit from a combination, like the ones that are really working on just pulling up their quad muscle, and the ones that are working on more refined details like arms and music and timing. If you can find combinations that address all of that all at once, you're going to get gains from all your students.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that, because I think, you know, when I have taught myself over the years, what I notice is there's so many different ways to approach learning something. You know, you might have somebody who's more visual, somebody who's more auditory, and if you're in the medical field, somebody who's more kinesthetic, and sometimes that means they actually have to go out and do stuff, which maybe isn't the best thing if they're brand new.
Yeah.
But it just is what it is.
Yeah.
You have all these different learning styles, and sometimes you're not entirely sure which, I guess, path to take in.
No, you're totally right. And one thing that I think we spend a lot of class time doing is teaching students how to figure out how they learn. So we'll teach a combination, and then I'll say, okay, give it a try, and then I'll ask them, how did it go that first time? Did anybody get it right that first time? And very rarely does someone say, oh, yes, I got it perfectly right that first time. And so we talk about that you have to find the skills to figure out how to do these combinations. So for some people, it's stopping and thinking and sort of drawing a mental picture out. But for many people, it's actually just doing that one sort of transition from one step to another 8 times in a row. And if they get that 8 times in a row, then it sort of gets ingrained in them. But I think that, and that's one of the parts I love about it, is helping students figure out how do they learn? How do they learn in this environment? And then remembering to do that when I'm not reminding them to do that. And again, that's sort of building that culture and trickling down, watching older students do that, younger students do that. But I love that aspect of it. But it's challenging.
Well, it is, and I think sometimes as a teacher, actually even as a doctor, I think about, because that part of that is also teaching.
Yeah.
There is the sense that you want people to succeed.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen quickly.
Right.
And so there is that like state of tension, and that state of like, is there something I could be doing differently? But sometimes it's not about what you're offering as a teacher. It's more about what their receptivity is, or when things start to line up.
Exactly.
So I'm interested in also the notion of body awareness, because I think, again, another thing that has happened in our culture, my observation is that people are increasingly, well, it's sort of a dichotomy. Some people are so much more aware of their bodies that the physicality becomes their entire self.
Yeah.
And then other people are so disconnected from their bodies that they have no sense of awareness.
Right.
And as a doctor, I see both, and I think there can be significant issues with both extremes. How does that impact your field?
Well, I think you're right that especially in this generation, when there's so much, so many superficial ways of looking at our body, pictures, selfies, especially with our young, our preteens and our teens, that finding a way to appreciate how their bodies perform, looking at their bodies not just by their appearance, but thinking of their bodies as enabling them to reach goals, is really helpful. That we break things down a little bit in the studio. You know, you're getting all the dancers come in, these students come in, and they're all wearing leotards and tights, and so you're getting rid of sort of the how do I look today in terms of how are my clothes, what am I wearing, we're all sort of sitting in this sort of vulnerable position in class, and getting comfortable with that. Especially young women, comfortable with who their bodies, who they are in their bodies, and then learning to take care of their bodies, learning to appreciate how they what their preparations, how that makes them feel. You know, we talk a lot about long-term gains. If a student has a audition on Saturday and they come in on Monday with a cold, maybe it's more valuable to go home and get their homework done and go to bed early, and so that they're feeling better at the end of the week. So that sense of responsibility towards their bodies, what's going to help in the long term? You know, fueling and hydration and all those things contribute to their performance physically, but also mentally, their confidence level. So to me, that, and I think for my students, that they would say the same thing, that it gets them away from that that culture of always having to be to look a certain way, because it's much more about feeling a certain way and having physical goals for themselves that they're trying to meet. And I think it you think of ballet sometimes as you know, really obsessed, people obsessed with their bodies. And I don't think they are. I think they are passionate about finding new skills in their bodies, finding their potential in their bodies. And that actually can be a really healthy outlet.
Well, I really am enjoying this conversation. I know we could have lots of other things, directions we can go in. For people who would like to learn more about the work that you are doing in Topsom at the ballet school, where you are the owner and director, where would you send them?
Probably to our website, which is just theballetschool.com. We have classes all year round, classes for all ages. So we have a wonderful adult group that probably 20-25 adult students who come in regularly, and children who start at about 5 years old start taking classes, and we go throughout the year.
Well, I encourage people to learn more about the work that you're doing at the Ballet School in Topsom. We've been speaking with Elizabeth Drucker, who I think I'm really enjoying the point of view you have on ballet and kids and their bodies. So I appreciate your coming in today, and I appreciate your working as a teacher.
Thank you so much.
Having found that calling for yourself.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me here. It's been great to talk to you.